So we're continuing our preparation to receive the Torah. And at this point, God instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the Jewish people, first to the women, and then to the men. And then he says this, V'yata. So now we are going to enter into a permanent relationship with God. But there's a proviso. Im shomaya tishmu. If we will vigilantly heed Hashem's voice, which means to perform Hashem's commandments. If we will listen bekoili in God's voice, ushmartem es brisi, and we will keep God's covenant. God says, then v'heyisem li segula, then you shall be for me as a treasured nation mikol ha'amim from all other nations, Kili kol ha'aretz, for the entire world is mine. Statement. Let's try to understand this. We'll begin with Rashi. This is verse 5 of chapter 19. So Rashi says, Va'ata, and now, Im shomaya tishmu b'koili, if only you will listen. Rashi transcribes the words Va'ata, and he says that we do not speak here about listening. This is not about audibility. Rather, the notion of listening, what Hashem wants us to do now, is to accept His words. And it says, Shomaya Tishma. It says it in seemingly redundant prose. If listen, you will listen. Which doesn't just mean to listen. It means actually to accept. As Rashi says, it means, Im ata. If now you will accept upon yourselves, fulfill everything that I'm asking from you, so then it'll be sweet for you, it'll be good for you, mikan ve'elech, from now onward. Shekol hascholos koshes. Very interesting idea. All beginnings are difficult. In other words, like this. God says, make the decision now. Accept it upon yourself. Say, yes, we will do this. And if you do it now, and you make that decision, it'll become easier for you as time goes on, because the first step is always the hardest. This is the rule in general with Yiddishkeit. The first step is always the hardest. Making that commitment, crossing that threshold, saying, yes, I am going to do this. That's always difficult. But Hashem promises us that if you make that decision, once you move forward, it'll become easier. Ushmartem es brisi. So the first thing is, if you'll accept, will you accept this upon yourself? And then, if you will accept it upon yourself now, and here's another detail, ushmartem es brisi, and you will keep my covenant. What does this mean? Which covenant are we talking about here? And what exactly is the meaning of keeping this covenant in a way that's different from the mitzvahs that we already talked about? Right? Because really, if you think about it, both of these could be euphemistic for Yiddishkeit in general. Shomaya tishma. Rashi says, means accept upon yourself. Okay, accept upon yourself. Accept what? Accept Yiddishkeit. And then he says, Ushmartem es brisi. You should keep my covenant. What's my covenant? If not Yiddishkeit. What is God to? What is the difference between Shomaya Tishma? What's the difference between accepting upon yourself do the mitzvahs and the notion of keeping God's covenant? So Rashi says that the covenant we speak here over here is not actually the performance or the acceptance of the mitzvahs. I'm going to make a covenant with you. So this is not a past tense covenant. This is a futuristic covenant. Rashi, God says to the Jewish people, I will make a covenant with you al shmiras ha-Torah, with regard to the keeping of the Torah. So that's what it says later on, as we'll get to the next parsha. It says, Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Moshe Rabbeinu took the book of the covenant. And that we know is the beginning of the Torah written up until Parshas Yisro, and he gave it to the Jewish people, and there was an offering that was brought, and so on and so forth. So the Brit, in other words, the covenant, was before the Torah was actually given. And that's what we're referring to here. Not everybody agrees with Rashi. So for example, if we take a look in the Or HaChaim, he says that the notion of Shomaya Tishma does not mean that if you listen now, it'll be easier for you to listen, or if you accept upon yourself now, it'll be easier failure to accept things upon yourself in the future. That's not what it means. He doesn't learn it that way. He says listening means listening, literally, hearing. There is an audible element over here. So what is the Shema Yatishma then? So he says, if you will listen to what I will give ear to now, what I will make heard now, then you will be able to continue to hear, or meaning to apprehend, novelty in Torah. In other words, it's not just a question about accepting upon yourself. The deeper message is, if you will listen to Hashem's word. If you listen means you understand, and you take Hashem's word to heart, then you will continue to understand new layers of depth and profundity in your growth of Yiddishkeit. And indeed, this is how it is. If a person studies Torah, and if you understand Torah, so each understanding is built on the understanding prior. And as they say, a person realizes, the more he learns, the more he realizes how little he knows. Right? They say the difference in Aristotle and between the Rambam was that Aristotle, the deeper and the wider his knowledge became, the more arrogant he became. But the Rambam was exactly the opposite. The more he learned, the more humble he became. He said, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. So there's this idea of Shomoya Tishmu, that if you listen, then you'll be able to continue to listen and understand. Now, with regard to the covenant, Rashi is very clear about the future covenant. However, Ramban disagrees. He says this refers to the covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a past covenant. God has already made a covenant. We are already a covenantal nation. And because the covenant has already been made, God says, now keep the covenant. You're going to accept upon yourself the mitzvahs now, and keep the covenant, according to Ramban, that you already have been engaged in prior. Because as a nation, you already received this covenant through the patriarchs. So now, simply continue to follow the covenant that bound Hashem. Of course, one might ask that's a little bit nebulous. What exactly is it referring to? It's very broad. And the problem, I think, is that the Jewish people didn't really keep the covenant. They didn't exactly remember Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov when they were in Mitzrayim. In fact, they fell away from all of the ideals and the ideas of the patriarchs. They weren't keeping the mitzvahs anymore. What did they have? Bagels and lox. They had cultural Judaism. They wore Jewish clothes, they used Jewish names, had a Jewish language. That was it. By the way, it's the last time cultural Judaism worked. It doesn't work anymore. 2-3 generations, gone, finished. You need Yiddishkeit. One time before we had the Torah mitzvahs, then cultural Judaism was able to at least hold on to us. We could at least be an identifiable nation within the bowels of a nation, but a nation that could be identified. These are the Hebrews. These are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They still have a lineage, a pedigree that was pure, and so on and so forth. But that was all we had. So when it says Ushmartim is Brisi, it's like almost like going back to a covenant that God had cut with Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov centuries earlier. I think that's the way Rashi favors the approach of Ushmartim is Brisi, that it's going to be a futuristic one, even though it sounds as if it's in place. So this is the opening part of the fifth verse. And the second part of Pasuk Hei is God now making a statement. Should all this happen, then the Yisim Li Segula. Then you will be, for me, God says, as a treasure. Mikol Ha'amim, from amongst all other nations. And then the Pasuk finishes off. Why? There's a key. Because. Ki Li Kol Ha'aretz. Because the whole land belongs to me. So this has to be understood. What's the meaning of being a treasure? What does it mean? And why does it have to be a treasure? Mikol Ha'amim, from all the nations. What difference does it make if God owns everything? Okay, Li Kol Ha'aretz. We know that. Why does Hashem have to connect the notion of Li Kol Ha'aretz, the land is all mine, to the idea that we will be God's treasure? So it's interesting to point out that with regard to the concept of, you know, the how one leads into the next, the Sepharno says, all of humanity is dear to God. All of humanity, every human being is cherished. It makes no difference, color, creed, background, affiliation, how we lead our lives. A human being is cherished to God. How do we know this? We read it in the Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva said, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. A human being is cherished. A human being is beloved. because a human being is created in God's image. All human beings. However, and the Sfarno says this even more so when we talk about Chassidei Umos HaOlam, there are many, many pious people, many righteous members of the nations. So he says, nonetheless, you'll be for me amongst this cherished old humanity, you will be for me a treasure. So that's the message of Kili Mikala Amim, Sgula Kili Kala Aretz. To the emphasis of Li Kala Aretz, so the Ibn Ezra says, God is saying, it's despite the fact that I own everything. So a person could have a treasure. I treasure this. Why? This is the one I have. You have one, another one, you treasure that. Everybody treasures what's theirs, or should treasure what's theirs, appreciate what's theirs, be happy with what they have. But God has everything. So God has everything. Why does he have to treasure us for? So Ibn Ezra says, despite the fact, it's not because, but read key, despite Li Kol Aretz. I own everything, says God. And yet, I still treasure you. And lastly, I'll just share with you the words of the Chizkuni. He says that some people read this verse and they say, oh, Zionism is racism. They're racist, the Jews, you see? They think they're special. They think they're better. They think they're a treasure from amongst all the nations. So what's our response? Are we better? Are we different? Yes, the answer is yes. Yeah, the answer is yes. But how could that be? It's unfair. Why would one human being have the gall, the insolence to think that he or she is better than another human being? So Chizkuni says, that's what God said. Tough luck. God said, this nation is my treasure. Can't help you. God says, Li Kol Aretz. I'm the boss. I can do as I please. You can't come to the boss and say, hey, boss, that's not fair. The boss says, why not? Because we should all be treated equally. Boss says, you be treated how you'll be treated, and I'll be treated. I'm the boss. The boss can do as he pleases. God says, I'm the boss. Now, by the way, it doesn't mean we think that we're smarter, richer, prettier, more effective necessarily in a material sense. What it means is that we were endowed to serve Hashem in a special way. And yes, we believe that. When a Jew puts on tefillin, it's meaningful. When a Jew lights Shabbat candles, it's meaningful. When somebody who's not Jewish does it, well, whatever, it's a thing. It's a thing that's being done. But it doesn't make the world turn inside out. It doesn't make fireworks happen. And that's what Torah teaches. And God is the boss, and that's what God says. All right, let's take a look in Rashi now. Rashi has a very, very interesting way of developing this idea of segula. He says, segula, it's like an oitzer chaviv. An oitzer chaviv means a cherished repository. Basically, in English, a treasure. We find this in the book of Kohelet, where King Solomon says, in Ecclesiastics, he says, usegulas melachim, the treasures of kings. Kings have treasures. If you go to the London Tower, you could see the jewels, the crown jewels, supposedly. Maybe it's glass, I don't know. But supposedly the crown jewels are there for your viewing. Huh? It's the real deal? What? Yeah? Well, yeah, you looked at it with a loop, how do you know? I've been there too, but I'm not sure if it's the real deal.
I have them in my store, a whole collection of...
A collection of the duplicates, yeah. Right. So I'm not so sure if they put the real thing out there or not. But that's what people come to see. They come to see the treasures of Buckingham Palace. The treasures of the Windsor family. It's treasures. Kings have treasures. What is it usually treasures? It's bagels and lox. What is it? Parmesan, eggplant parmesan. What is a treasure? So he says, Kli Yoker. This refers to very precious artifacts. And Avonim Tevis. And diamonds, precious stones. Sha'amelech gains a meisam, melochim, that kings treasure these things. They put them away. Kach atem, so you will be, God says, li, for me, segula, you're my treasure. The king or queen has their treasure, you're my treasure. It's not so hard to understand this. A person could say to their children, you're my diamond. And that's very real. They're not just saying that. They're not trying to make kids feel good. If it had to be a question of give away the diamonds or give away the children, which normal person would give away the children and keep the diamonds? Nobody. The children come first. So the children are our diamonds. That's the truth. So Hashem says, you are my treasure. And this is Mishar Umais, from amongst other nations. Yes, I cherish all of humanity, but you are my treasure. V'leitoimru, you shouldn't say that the reason you're treasured is atem levadchem shali, that the reason is only because you are mine. And so why do I treasure? How come I treasure my children? Why are my children more treasured than your children? They're not objectively, but they're my children. And you treasure your children. And that's perfectly fine. That's normal. If you treasure somebody else's children and they treasure your children, something's off. So, but when it comes to God, God has everything. So these are mine, so I treasure them. Hashem has everything, though. So don't say, of course, they treasure you. You treasure us because that's all you have. Hashem says, not so. Ki li kol ha'aretz. Ma yesh li oid. In other words, rak levad atem levadchem shali. You alone are mine as a treasure. Ve'ein li acherim imachem. And I have nothing else. Nothing else occupies that space together with me. Ma yesh li oid. The fact that I have much of other, shetehechi baschem nekeres. This is in order that your love should be very evident. Ki li kol ha'aretz, because the whole land is mine. In other words, I could have chosen whoever I wanted. When it comes to a treasure, it doesn't even measure up. This is my treasure, and nothing else is Hashem's treasure.
Why single us out? It's not working very well.
It's not working so good, huh? You have a bit of a point. Let's take a look and see how the Rebbe comments on this, and then maybe you'll have a better understanding. So let's go to entry Yud Zayin, page Ayin Aleph, V'yisim Li Skula. And here we have a quote of this Rashi. So the Rebbe asked a little bit of a different question, but I think it will answer your question too. Yesh Lishal, we could ask her, Madua Mashva Kadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael La'avonim Tevis. Why is he compared us to diamonds? But not just any diamonds. He doesn't compare us to the diamonds that are in the crown, or diamonds that are the sequins that are on the gown. He compares us to Avanim Tevis, Hamustareis begins in Melachim. He compares us to the jewels that are squirreled away, hidden in the treasure trove of the king. And the truth is, they actually serve no purpose. They don't serve a purpose. These crown jewels, Einem Evies Kol Toyelis, they don't bring to it, they have no practical usage. So why would he compare us to that? I mean, like, what is the point of the crown jewels? What do you do with the crown jewels?
Observe.
Mm-hmm. Wear them on special occasions.
Do they? I don't think so. I don't think they wear the crown jewels. He says, why did you compare it to Avonim HaKvois B'Kesar HaMelech? There's a crown. The king or queen has a crown. So in the crown there's jewels. And the crown is worn. And the crown is something which grabs the eye. And looks beautiful. And it's something which beautifies the wearer. So why do we compare it to that? Why do we compare it to the jewels, which seem to have no purpose, no function, but rather are kept under wrap, in a secret location? So the Rebbe says that exactly is the point. He anisenes. Avonim ha-tevis ha-kavuis b'keser ha-melech. The diamonds, the precious stones, which are a part of the crown, mishes es ha-melech, l'matarich etzenius. They serve a purpose. What purpose do they serve? The same purpose that jewelry will serve anybody. It creates an aura. It frames a person. So it makes the person look better. It beautifies the individual, the wearer. The king has to act royal, regal. The king has to act in a way which sets him apart from others. Or the queen has to be noticeably different. And how is the king or queen noticeably different? They wear these unique clothes. Nobody else wears a crown. Nobody else is bedecked in jewels quite in the same fashion. As Yeshayahu Anavi says in his 33rd chapter of his prophecies, he says, Melech b'yofye techazene inecha. The king is not supposed to be seen, or the queen, in a disgraced or undignified way, but the king or queen always have to be seen in a dignified fashion. If you're a royal, act it. Act presidential, as they say. Ulam ha'avonim ha'tevis sha'amelach goinzim b'beis ha'itzreisov. These treasures that we spoke of, which the king squirrels away and nobody gets to see, einem misham shes l'matarich etzenis. What is their purpose? What usage is had from them? The answer really is none. It's not used for a specific purpose. It doesn't contribute in a specific way. So what's the purpose? The answer is, what do you mean? They are. Etzim kiyuman. The very fact that the royal family, that the royal house has, that the palace has these jewels, it's something special. Hamelch mishtasheh b'hem. The king, as Nathan correctly said, will observe them. He'll look at these jewels. It'll be a symbol of the might, of the glory, of the beauty of the monarchy. It's really a symbol of the monarchy. That's what it becomes. And the king or the queen enjoys them. Me etzem uvdos human beitz reisef, and the very fact that it is. This is the treasure, and from time to time, the royals go into the treasure house and they will look at their treasures. And the Rebbe says that's exactly the point that's being made to us. This is why we are metaphorized as precious artifacts, as precious stones. Sha'amalachim gein zemeisim. L'lamdeinu, this comes to teach us. Shechavivusim shol b'nei Yisrael b'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that our belovedness in God's eyes, eino kem tzoi la'asaga matara kolshi. It's not because God has good use for us, because we are the most effective nation to promulgate His ideals. And because we're the most effective nation, so that's why we're His treasure. We do the best job. No. We, just our being, just our existence, creates or is a purpose in and of itself. We're not a means to an end. We are the end. Etzem kiyuman shel bnei Yisrael, the very fact that we are, this is chaviv b'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is treasure in God's eyes. The fact that we are brings Hashem a tremendous amount of pleasure, which is really a remarkable statement. What was your question? Why does God need us? What's our answer? On some level, He doesn't need us for anything. It's not that He loves us because He needs us. He loves us because
we are.
And somebody will say, I have no need for my children anymore. Once upon a time, I had need for them. They would help in the kitchen. They would assist. Now they just give me trouble. Move out. I have no need for you. Would a normal parent say that? Is your child functioning? Of course, a person feels good when the child is living a meaningful life and is functioning. But if the child's not functioning for you, doesn't bring you anything. So what does it bring me? It brings me nachas. It's to give me something. The child that gives me nachas, the child's existence brings a parent joy. Our existence brings Hashem joy. Of course, we have a mission. I have a job to do. Hashem says, Shema Yatishma, I expect you to listen to me. I expect you to follow through. Yet, there are things we're supposed to do. We are supposed to serve a function. We have to keep that covenant. But Hashem is broadcasting to the Jewish people in anticipation of the giving of the Torah to prepare us for receiving the Torah. You should know that from this point and onward, if only you accept upon myself to be my people, then you will be for me as a treasured nation. And indeed, if Hashem says it in His Torah, it is so. Thank you.